One of the things I love most about being a pastor is the way that it's affected the way I read Scripture. Before I became a pastor, I would often read a passage like this morning's and assume it was about just one or two things. I would have read this morning's passage, for instance, and assumed it was about Jesus' miraculous healing of Simon's mother-in-law, or about the importance of going off and spiritually centering oneself so you can meet the challenges ahead. But since I've become a pastor, I've noticed that there are dozens of little details, often hidden in the story, if you will, that can present life-changing lessons. So as I read this morning's story, listen carefully and see if you can find a detail or two that brings the story alive in new ways. Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As read from the Common English Bible. After leaving the synagogue, Jesus, James, and John went home with Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed, sick with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He went to her, took her by the hand, and raised her up. The fever left her, and she served them. That evening, at sunset, people brought to Jesus those who were sick or demon-possessed. The whole town gathered near the door. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases, and he threw out many demons. But he didn't let the demons speak because they recognized him. Early in the morning, well before sunrise, Jesus rose and went to a deserted place where he could be alone in prayer. Simon and those with him tracked him down, and when they found him, they told him, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's head in the other direction, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there too. That's why I've come." Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and throwing out demons. Thus ends the reading. So, did you find a detail or two hidden in the story that might suggest new things for us? Well, this week I did, in verse 38 of all places, the one that read, and I quote, "Jesus said, 'Let's head in the other direction, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there too. That's why I've come.'" Let me tell you why that verse was so important this week. And to do so, I want to use an example that I drew from yesterday's edition of the Los Angeles Times in an article written by a journalist named Don Lee. Don Lee noted in his article that some folks have been talking a lot lately about the low unemployment rate that we've achieved in the country. They've trumpeted the fact that the unemployment rate in the country was 4.1% for the month of December 2017. 4.1%. And here's where Lee's article got interesting. While 4.1% represented the average unemployment rate across the country, that unemployment figure was different for other communities. In the Hispanic community, for instance, the figure was 5%. And in the African-American community, the unemployment rate was 6.8% in December. And while that overall percentage of 4.1% held in January, the African-American community's numbers didn't hold steady. They increased by nearly a full percentage point, from 6.8% to 7.7%. And Lee concluded his analysis by noting, even if the 6.8% unemployment rate for African Americans in December had held, that still would have been roughly double the comparable jobless rate for white Americans. Double the figure for white Americans. Don Lee's article got me to thinking about a difficult fact. We live in a country where there is more than one version of reality. One version tells us that in January 2018, that the unemployment rate was 4.1%, and the other, 7.7%. And guess which version of reality gets reported? That's right, the 4.1%. In other words, one version of the story gets plucked out and elevated before others and becomes the way we see reality. Of course, Don Lee and I weren't the first ones to note this. Another man who was born 143 years ago in Buckingham, Virginia, figured out this fact as well. Man's name was Carter Goodwin Woodson. And let me tell you a little bit about Carter. Like many African Americans of his time, Carter Woodson was denied access to local schools for many years. So during his first 20 years on the planet, Carter educated himself. And when he was finally allowed to go to school at the age of 20, boy, did Carter make up for lost time. He completed his high school diploma in 2 years, then went on to teach at the local high school. After 3 years of teaching, Carter was hired as principal for the school, and while serving as principal, he earned his first bachelor's degree in literature. Carter then traveled to the Philippines and supervised a school there for 4 years. And when he came home, he earned another bachelor's degree and a master's degree in just 1 year's time. And 4 years later, Carter received his PhD from Harvard, becoming just the second African American to earn his doctorate from Harvard, after the first, W.E.B. Du Bois. Now, during his whirlwind of an education, Carter noticed something about the way American history was told. Like the unemployment figures that I quoted just a minute ago, the telling of American history was badly skewed. And the contributions of African Americans, in his words, were overlooked, ignored, and even suppressed by the writers of history's textbooks and the teachers who used those texts. So Carter set about trying to rectify the situation. In 1926, he declared the second week of February Negro History Week. He chose that week because it fell between the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln, the white president who had signed the Emancipation Proclamation, and the African-American leader, Frederick Douglass. And for 44 years, the observance remained just 1 week, a week quietly observed in a few corners of this country. In 1970, the Black United Students and the Black Educators groups on Kent State University's campus realized that 1 week was not enough to undo the imbalance in the telling of American history that had existed for over 300 years. So they expanded it. They went from 1 week to four and called their observance Black History Month. And once again, it was celebrated in just a few communities around the country. It stayed that way for another 6 years, until, as a part of this country's bicentennial celebration in 1976, Republican President Gerald Ford officially recognized the month of February as Black History Month, noting how important it was, and I quote, to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. And friends, in that moment, a shift began to occur in the American conscience. We went from telling just one version of the American story to two, and later to three, and then four, and beyond, as other versions of American story began to be told. From Women's History Month to Asian Pacific Islander History Month, from LGBTQ Month to Hispanic Heritage Month. And each of those developments were crucial in helping capture the fullness of the story of who we are as an American people. Well, this is all interesting, Pastor Craig. But what on earth does it have to do with this morning's gospel reading? Well, you see, verse 38 of this morning's story tells us something important. It suggests that after the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, that those first followers of Jesus were ready to stick with just one version of the emerging story they knew, and that they wanted to go back to the same old places in order to share that one version of the story. That's how we roll, they must have thought to themselves. But Jesus wouldn't have any of that. Jesus knew that if his story was going to be truly received as good news not just for some, but for everyone, that they would have to veer from their comfortable and expected patterns, that they would have to bring new voices to the table in order to tell the story, which meant that they would have to go new places in order to share the gospel, whether they wanted to or not. And that, my friends, is why I'm so excited this upcoming year about bringing into our worship life the monthly observances I referred to earlier, from African American History Month through Hispanic Heritage Month next fall. Because that practice will challenge us to tell the gospel and to embody its message in worship in a variety of new ways. And that's why I, as your pastor, feel that observing an event like African American History Month and telling the story of those like Carter Goodwin Woodson has nothing at all to do with being politically correct and everything to do with being a faithful follower of Jesus. And so, as we go forth into a world of competing unemployment statistics and versions of American history, may we hold on tighter than ever to the one who hears and values every story, and the one who can weave those stories into one. In doing so, we will develop a spiritual practice, a profound one of sharing the good news in brand new ways. Amen.